This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
As we get started today, the topic of discussion is most likely most appropriate for adult audiences. We encourage you to listen to this episode first, and then you can decide if it would be a blessing or appropriate for your children. All right, well, we are here today discussing a really crucial topic for Christians to think through biblically, how to navigate, especially with where our culture and society is today and the direction it's going. It's actually a question that was submitted from personal experience from somebody in our body. And I'll read the question, and then we can just kind of see where we go from there. The individual says they were in a state park. This is a woman. This last year, washing her hands in a woman's restroom, a masculine-looking woman was next to me. We exchanged pleasantries. A moment later, a 6-plus-foot-tall man in woman's clothes emerged from the stall. The two smiled and smirked at each other. I instantly felt a flicker of panic. And my question is, was I only uneasy because this was the first time I was in this situation? As a believer, how should I think about these situations? How should I teach my girls to handle these moments? There were lots of school children at this venue. None were in the bathroom at the moment, or I would have waited around for them to leave. Should I have said something to park staff in the next building? Was it wrong to see this happen and say nothing? This is a very real situation that we're only going to experience more and more. I'm concerned for the direction of our country, for the direction of our culture. I think we're seeing Romans 1 work itself out in the United States, where God is handing the sinful culture over to degrading passions and lusts. And there are truth suppressors everywhere. We know that's true about every individual prior to salvation. And it seems like calling sin good is only increasing publicly. So there's a few different things to address. First of all, the question that she had, was I only uneasy because this was the first time I was in this situation? I think she was seeing sin on display. Effeminate men is sin. God calls that sin in 1 Corinthians 6, such were some of you. And that should always make the believer uneasy.
Yes.
That in any situation should be uneasy. But maybe, Tom, would you start by speaking to just how should we as believers, maybe in this specific situation, what would be your counsel for this individual? And then maybe we can back out some more from this specific situation. But first, maybe just talk a little bit about how you would help somebody think through navigating a circumstance like this.
This is a hard circumstance, and part of the navigation is just recognizing the culture has shifted. Sadly, this was a state park or a federal park, I believe. Federal parks, all 50 states, the identifying gender could use whichever restroom they want. That is federal law. The culture has shifted, but that doesn't mean the Christian changes the way they think. It is terrifying when you want to be pleasing to the Lord, but the culture has moved away from pleasing the Lord. So, did you do something wrong in not notifying somebody at the park? I don't think they could have done a thing. Maybe they could have told you that you were discriminating against somebody because federally they are protected in that park. But how do you think about it? It's not pleasing to the Lord. I can't give approval. I can't look fondly at something the Lord says he hates. Mm-hmm. I have to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord, even in the midst of a world that is getting more broken and more bent. And As we talk more, I'm sure we're going to talk about how do you respond and what do you help your kids with. But I think on the surface, you didn't do anything wrong by not addressing it. But the discomfort is because you are face to face with immorality, and it's not pleasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the first thing, how should I think about this? In one sense, sin should be shocking and uncomfortable. In another sense, it shouldn't be surprising that sinners sin.
Right.
And all sin is gross. All sin is disgusting to the Lord. Myself and a couple of my kids were in a restaurant recently where you go through the line and order what you want, and they had music playing in the restaurant. I couldn't believe the profanity of the music in a normal everyday restaurant that you go to, and it was gross. And one of my children said that music was not really edifying, was it? I said, yeah, they shouldn't have been playing that. Sin should be shocking, and we shouldn't be shocked that sinners sin. Right. And so when we face these situations, there can be a stigma to certain sins that might make us feel more uneasy because of the shame that's associated with it from what we know. And that's good. We shouldn't try to unshame our view of sin. And as we are exposed to sinners who are sinning, we should be reminding ourselves of their need for the gospel. Right. Even in Romans 1, when Paul kind of puts forth some of the most disgusting sins from human categories, he starts it all off with, I am convinced in the power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. The power of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so, you know, when we come in contact with gross, uncomfortable sin, as God would call all sin, we should first have hearts of compassion that the people would know the gospel. Some opportunities might allow for conversation. Some opportunities would probably dictate it's not appropriate for you to have a conversation, but you can always pray for that person. So I think just thinking through your heart, compassion for lost sinners is good.
Yeah, it's interesting, Josh, something you said, that the truth is we shouldn't be surprised when sinners sin. I know that there's a saying that is helpful for me, and it's dogs bark and cats meow. And that's just the nature of it. And what's troubling as we see an issue like this is, for the believer, that this is not our home, but we need to recognize that there are groups that are striving to promote an immoral agenda. This just didn't happen in a vacuum. There are people that are trying to see how far they could push our culture. Mm-hmm. And dogs bark and cats meow. And we should pray for them. Pray that people near them may be able to speak truth to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As far as practical wisdom, thinking through how to navigate some of these situations, I think we're seeing the importance of intentionality in the kinds of circumstances you put yourself in. If you live in a city, or if you're in a part of town where robbery is off the charts, you don't pull your wallet out and flash cash on the street. If sexual immorality is increasing or gender confusion is increasing, and we recognize that, you probably shouldn't send your daughter to the bathroom alone. Go in pairs, figure out intentional ways to be thoughtful and careful with the circumstances that you put yourself in. So I think there is some practical wisdom in how to think through that when thinking through how do you teach your girls to handle situations like this. You know, you don't want to live in fear beyond the reality of the moment, but you also want to be wise and discerning. Well, are there other things that you would want to help young women, men, young men? I mean, I think you need to be thinking about this in all categories, but what are some additional things you might help someone think through when navigating kind of the state of our culture and what we're seeing as far as gender confusion and so forth. Tyler, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was thinking along the same lines you guys were. We do live in a world that where evil is celebrated. And Tom, like you were just saying, where law in some cases is trying to protect sinful desires rather than the defenseless people. And I really do think the first thing that needs to practically be done is to direct your thinking. It was helpful for me to think through the book of Proverbs and to look at the wicked, just looking at the examples of the wicked or wickedness in the book of Proverbs. And I think overwhelmingly, the book of Proverbs says judgment is coming for the wicked. Ruin, a just reward, that is coming. And the fact that that needs to be said tells us something about our current situation. It doesn't always look like it. It does not always look like the wicked are getting their just desserts. But here's just a couple principles that, aside from the fact that judgment is coming, Proverbs 3:25 tells me not to be afraid. Do not be afraid of sudden dread, nor of the storm of the wicked when it comes. Proverbs 4:14-15, do not partner with them. Do not enter the path of wicked men. Do not step into the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Stray from it and pass on. Proverbs 17:15, do not proclaim that the wicked are right. Verse 15 says, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to Yahweh. We are so thankful for God's grace to sinners like us. And we are called to not say that something is good that is wrong and sinful. We're called to just be holy and to be wise.
You know, Tyler, the Proverbs you cited, it's really helpful. And it's, I know Paul in Romans 1, at the end of Romans 1, and I'll read verse 32 in entirety, but the main point comes in the last several words of verse 32. And although they know the ordinance of God, because it's made clear to them in creation, that those who practice such things, and it's talking about these sinful things, are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but here's the point, but also give hearty approval to those that practice them. So I think it's important for the believer to agree with God. What God says is sin, we have to say the same thing. We have to think the same thing. We have to agree with God. And praise God, in his kindness to us, tells us in his word, and I'm thinking of 2 Timothy 3, that in the last days, men will be lovers of self. And it goes for several verses of depravity. And we're just seeing in our culture what has always taken place. But it just truly does seem today that it's coming faster and faster and bolder and bolder. But God said it would be this way.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of misnomers among the world on their assessment of Christians who hold to God's standard regarding holiness, right, or sin. If a non-believing transgender person were to listen to this conversation, they would categorize us as fearful, homophobic, all sorts of different insults or accusations. And I think that misses the whole point. The whole point is what you just said. We are seeking to agree with God. We are seeking to agree with God with what he says. And I want to read a couple passages that I think are helpful for us to consider. We've referenced Romans 1. You even just read verse 32. I want to start at verse 24 and just read for a bit. Paul says, "Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them." That's a sobering list.
Yeah, it is.
I think that what's interesting is the whole picture of what you see about sin and what God thinks about sin. To call homosexuality, transgender type of behavior sin does not equal, oh, we hate those people or we're fearful. In fact, hate would say, keep going towards the path of destruction. Love would say, agree with God and repent. And if we told a young child, you need to not disobey your parents, nobody would say, wow, why do you hate that child so much? And yet when you say, repent of homosexuality or gender confusion, agree with God about these things, all of a sudden it's put in these obscure categories of hate or fear or something. I don't fear a child that's disobedient to their parent. I want to rescue them from that foolishness. Mm. I don't fear somebody who's a homosexual. I want to rescue them from their foolish confusion and disobedience and rebellion against God, that they would understand what he has to say. I want to read one more section of scripture from 1 Corinthians 6. Paul says, "Or do you not know," and this is verse 9, "or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." So there again, we're not making up categories. God has given us the categories of what is right and what you need salvation from, what you need to be washed and cleansed from. And so as we think through navigating these issues, it's just not loving as God would dictate love to give approval to sinfulness, much less hearty approval. And so as we're navigating these types of situations, we come across people. We need to be humble. We need to be loving. We need to recognize we need the same grace that they need. Right. We need forgiveness for our sins. And to be passive or silent about what God has been active and clear on is not good. It's not loving. It's not helpful for that person's soul.
You know, I think, Josh, it's so helpful, the verses you read and your comments. And there's another side to the practical, what do I do? And I'm thinking of the practical, how am I going to be pleasing to the Lord in this situation? And a couple thoughts come to mind. One is, God has called me to be loving. He didn't say just be loving to the Christians or the people I agree with. God's called us to be loving, even to people we disagree with. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of Romans 2:4. It's the kindness of the Lord that would lead somebody to repentance, and we get to be God's instrument. I need to be kind to somebody I don't agree with that's in sin. I still need, I'm not affirming, I'm not agreeing with them, but I can still be kind and I can still be loving on a practical note of what God has called me to be. And it doesn't matter how they respond. You are being kind and loving to be pleasing to your Lord, not to get a response. The responses of that person, that's in God's hands. Mm-hmm. And I do think another aspect of what we see in the culture that demands that we affirm somebody's foolishness and sin. And I would say for the believer, we have to agree with God. We can't lie to somebody and affirm what they're doing. Mm-hmm. That's not pleasing to the Lord.
Yeah.
But it's a great question, and it's a hard issue, and I do think it's going to get harder. And my prayer, since all this confusion has happened, that those that are seeking their comfort in a particular lifestyle would see their emptiness, be broken, and repent, mm-hmm. and fill the churches.
Yep.
And how is the church going to respond?
I love what Paul says there in that 1 Corinthians 6 passage, and such were some of you.
Amen.
There is always hope in the gospel to rescue sinners.
Yep.
Tyler, did you have any other thoughts or things you wanted to add at this point?
Yeah, I think 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and fear. Mm. We should be ready to share the gospel. That should just be our disposition. I am ready to step into whatever situation and bring glory to my God.
Mm-hmm.
I think being committed to not sin is so important in that moment.
Yeah.
I cannot speak what is untrue in the moment. There might not be, it might not be the right moment every moment to be able to share the gospel.
In the women's restroom. In a state or federal park. Yeah. That might not be it.
When you have your children with you and it's a tense situation, that, mm-hmm. that might not be the best time.
Yeah.
And I think you can trust the Lord with that.
Yep.
But having the disposition of, I am ready to honor God in what I say, and I'm looking for opportunities to share the gospel,
mm-hmm.
And care for people in love.
Yeah.
And then being committed to not be offensive where I don't need to be offensive.
Mm-hmm.
My own manners or how I portray myself or how I step into a situation, with my own pride, that it would be heartbreaking to have an opportunity to show love to somebody and what stands out to them in that moment is, oh, I was harsh.
Mm.
Man, I want to talk with people in a way that is winsome and loving and gentle, knowing my own sin. Knowing my own need for a savior.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, Tyler. Two final thoughts. One is, it's just tragic what we're having to navigate with our children these days and the ages in which we have to navigate these things. I know you can't hardly pull up a streaming show and not have, same-sex marriage or transgender or whatever category, all sorts of sin. It's just flagrant. It's in your face. You go out in public, your kids are going to see these things. And so having conversations as appropriate is good and helpful. Open up your Bible, talk with your kids about what God has to say about these things, and use discernment Not every question of a four-year-old needs to be answered in the moment. It's okay to say, we'll talk about that when it's a more appropriate time, and to wait. And there might be things that you decide to talk about. Those that just take conversations among parents, counsel, discernment, working through those types of things. And then the other thing that I think is always important for believers to keep in mind is that our greatest distaste for sin should be our own sin. And if we are not keeping short accounts in our own life, and yet we are so quick to point out what appears flagrant and is, and what is gross to God and not the normal function of men and women and how God designed man and woman from creation, to have such a strong revulsion to that and such a contentment to let sin go unchecked in our own life is a problem. We need to not let looser our assessment or agreement of God regarding those other sins, but we need to make sure we're keeping short accounts on our own sin in our own life, not think that we're somehow better because we have these pet sins when they have those. All sin is gross. All sin needs to be repented of.
That's a great way to end this conversation, Josh. That is truth.
Well, thank you guys. I know this is a sensitive topic, sometimes hard to navigate. Thankful for God's word. Thankful for your wisdom and insight in these things.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.